Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Grandmaster Karen Eden Herdman, and you are listening to Parts Unknown with Professor Gary Lee, now in 6 countries with over 14,000 listeners. And here he is, my friend, Professor Gary Lee.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha, everybody, and welcome to Parts Unknown with your host, Professor Gary Lee. Now, we're really excited about being in your home every Tuesday night for the past, probably about going on 9-10 years. And we couldn't have done it without the incredible vision of this next man. He runs the AMAA Alliance. He created the Who To books that we've had for the past 10 years all around the world. He has honored so many different people, and he's fixed to honor one of my best friends, movie star Cynthia Rothrock, coming up. But he's our producer, and I'm very honored to introduce you now. At this time, Hanchi Jesse Bowen from North Carolina. Hanchi, you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. How are you doing?
Well, I'm getting better and better every day, as you would say. So, how is North Carolina?
It is beautiful. The weather's been beautiful. Hey, life is good. Better and better.
Well, you've got something really exciting coming up here real soon. Honoring one of my dear friends, Cynthia Rothrock. Tell the listeners what you're doing, sir, please.
Oh, sure, sir. Hey, well, we're having the Cynthia Rothrock tribute. In 2016, we did a tribute with our books. So unlike a lot of organizations and, you know, Hall of Fames, you know, again, you know, I sort of follow Cecil Goldberg that we're a Hall of Honors, you know, that paying tribute to people. And each year we have a person that we pay tribute to. In 16, it was Cynthia, and here we are in 23. And they released a ninth version of our book. So we're paying tribute again to Cynthia Rothrock and for all the things she's doing. We're launching the Cynthia Rothrock Scholarship Fund. So, you know, we just have a lot of really great things going on in Vegas. Things are filling up really quickly. So, you know, we're just really excited about, you know, we're about legacy now, you know, so we're, you know, I know for you, myself, you know, a lot of other martial artists, no longer about the trophies. That's not what the value we bring. The value we bring is, you know, is the things we've done and how we can continue to teach and support the martial arts to keep it alive for that it's doing what it should be doing and people are still receiving training but can work in the 21st century with their training, because our generations have changed. How do I teach? How do I market? How do I do? So, you know, that's, you know, really about what we try to focus on now.
Well, you know, I know Cindy's starting to work on a new movie, Black Creek, and got a couple of friends for that too, Don D. Dragon Wilson, Billy Blank, Keith Vitale, just name a few. And we wish her the best and what you're doing for her. Really, from all the history generals and the people that support karate, thank you, Jesse Bowen, because she certainly deserves it. Now, you've done something else. You created a store for the Sport Karate Museum, which is very special.
That's right. Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're not talking, mute your phone.
Yeah, so what we have the, you know, Sport Karate Museum. It was a great honor to release, you know, the Sport Karate Museum history book last year. And we have a store. We've got some changes on our website, but to be able to get to the store is still very easy. And once you get to our Who's Who in the Martial Arts store, you click the browser, and then you just go to bookstore. And when you go to the bookstore, there's a category of a lot of different titles and subjects that we have. And we have one in there, which is the Sport Karate Museum History Book. And once you click on that, then that's going to open up, and all the books in there, the PDFs of the book, the ring is there. So all that information, you can order any of that. You can order a package or series of books. And even if you're featured in the book, back to school is a great opportunity for you to have a book signing in your school and to continue to support the museum and to continue to support the book. Now, there's one other thing that we've added that I'm really excited about, sir, and you are part of that. So on Saturday, we're going to be launching the official launch of our museum, which is the Who's Who in the Martial Arts Metaverse Museum. This is really exciting because you can enter the museum from your computer, from your mobile device, through VR glasses. And, you know, we have you. We actually have my teacher, Grandmaster Jan Wellendorf, is featured in the museum. So we have a lot of great things that, you know, is happening that people can actually go to the museum and actually go in and walk through a part of that history, because information is stored on the web pages, and they can know who our martial arts heroes are and what we've done. So this is going to be releasing on Saturday. We have a grand opening premiere on Saturday in the museum, and you'll be able to go to the Who's Who in the Martial Arts website, and you'll get more information on how to attend the event on Saturday.
Wow, that's really exciting. Now, tell us a little bit about, because I know you've helped a few of my friends, people like Randy Blake and Michael Hornsby, create their own books. If someone wanted to create their own book, how would they get involved with an elite publication, one of our great sponsors? Explain to people how they get involved with that, please.
So, you know, thanks for asking that question, because, you know, we have, in the past year, have about 40 martial artists that we've impacted their lives by helping them create their books, things that they never thought they would do. But we also have done something else through the Becoming an Author program, and that is that we've helped them to develop story and bring back value, number one, to their story, to their lives. They become international best-selling authors. So to get in contact with us, is all you need to do is go to Elite Publications, and that's elitepublications.org, and just schedule an appointment with me. And what we'll do is sit down and discover your story, create a marketing program around your story, and help you to be able to impact the world through your story. And we all have a story. We just have to get it out. And that story could, you know, inspire. You know, reading the book about Chuck Norris many years ago inspired me to be the person I am today. So you never know how just one person discovering you and what you've been going through and what they may be going through as a martial artist can change your life. So everyone has a story. You know, we just have to get it out. So, yes, go to the website, and that is elitepublications.org. Schedule an appointment with me. It is free. And let's talk about you, and let's discover the value that you have to offer.
Well, that's exciting. And I really want to talk about Michael's book maybe a little bit next week.
Oh,
you know,
yeah, that is great. That's going great. Yeah, you know, that's going great. We're having a lot of fun. And I want to encourage, you know, our guests that's on our program, contact me, because we'd love to have you in the Elite Black Belts Who Cook. Now, you may not cook. You know, I'm not a great cook. My wife is an amazing cook, so she's my partner. So you get a chance to partner with someone, and all they have to do is have a black belt. So, you know, so my wife, she never gets a chance to really, you know, but sit back and applaud me and tell me how great I am. But now she has a chance to be a part of my martial arts world through this cookbook. So this might, you may have a niece, granddaughter, student, or even Professor Gary Lee, we probably can loan him out and, you know, help you, you know, put together your recipe in there, because really you have to, if you're a non-martial artist, you just happen to have a black belt partner.
Well, you're funny. You know, Michael's asked me to write the foreword for the book, and I'm lucky enough to have a recipe there with my corn Hawaiian salad. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I sent out a message. Actually, I sent a message here recently that the deadline for the black belt, I'll reach out to get the recipe set to the webpage to explain the details how to get involved, is June the 30th. So if you are black belt.
Yeah, that's what we're, that's what our goal is right now is doing, is trying to get that together. So, yeah, so martial artists, let's have some fun.
You bet.
You know, I'm going on a cruise and we're giving everybody a vacation.
Like,
so when they sign up, they can actually take a vacation on us.
There you go. Well, it's like Hunky Bella just said. If you're a black belt, you can contact me at 713-483-0476 or the AMAA Elite Publications, and they'll explain to you what you can do to get involved with Michael Hornsby's Black Belt Cookbook. Well, Hunchy Bowen, thank you so much for your information and what you're doing for the Sport Pride Museum, and actually what you're doing for the world of martial arts. And we thank you so much for your wisdom and what you're doing. We appreciate it. So God bless you.
Yeah.
Have a good evening, sir.
And, sir, you know, we have some people waiting to come on, but I would request before I let them on, they need to mute their phones before I let them on. So if you're one of our guests waiting to come on the program, please mute your phone before I let you in. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I think Karen and Adam and Leo and Dr. Leo are supposed to be calling in. So, well, you know, that was Hunty Jesse Bowen, ladies and gentlemen, my producer. The one that has put us on the air, literally across the country, around the world, for the past 9 years. Now, did AJ get the call in yet? I know he's in Alaska. He's probably fishing. And Dean is making a movie, so I got to cover for them tonight. But you know what? I've got an incredible idea, and we're going to explain it tonight. Did Dylan, did you get on yet? Okay. Dylan, if you get on the air, is Karen on yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. If Morton is on, I know Morton is on, and David is on, and the Colonel is on, correct? We got everybody I just said. Cool. Did Dr. Lee call in yet? Okay, he's probably in the hospital, sent it to his wife. How about Leo Ramos? How about Adam James?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Hey, there's Adam. Welcome back. What's from up? Doc Savage. How you doing, big guy?
Thank you, sir. I'm doing terrific. How's everybody out there today?
Well, you know, Adam, we're working hard. As you know,
I hope so. That's the way to get ahead.
You bet.
That's the way to succeed in life.
They lose because, you know, I'm old school. I always do the ladies first, and then I'm going to bring you up. We're going to talk about Don Rank, and I'm really interested
that sounds great.
To hear you talk about it. But like I said, I am a gentleman. No matter what I feel like when I fought, I am a gentleman, and I believe that ladies always go first. And this first lady, she is one of my dearest friends, an A3 black belt at the Sport Karate Museum, a PKL champion. She trained in Shoryu Karate and now trains extensively in Kung Fu. She'll be at the Super Vendor Show in October with their incredible booth. And she'll also be teaching a Tai Chi class for beginners and advanced technique. My dear friend, my auntie, lives in Hawaii. And you call someone auntie, they're family, and she is Ohana. My dear friend, Auntie Karen Fletcher. Karen?
Uncle Gary, how are you?
Well, I'm doing good. How's your day been?
It's been good. I've taken two naps, so I'm not sure where I am right now.
Well,
it's been good.
you're with Gary Lee, honey. You know, crazy Gary Lee, the guy you sent to Mississippi from all those kung fu guys.
That's right.
That's right. That crazy Hawaiian. I hear
That's
you.
That's right. My favorite Hawaiian.
Well, thank you. Well, tonight I got an interesting topic, and I'll explain it to you.
Okay.
What's the difference between the first dan to a second dan, and then to a shihan or fifth dan, master level, and then, of course, to eighth or ninth, as you are, or to judon, which is tenth? So how do you feel about that, Karen?
Okay. I used to be a judge and a center ref at tournaments a lot because my daughter was competing all the time. So I was always there. And when I wasn't competing, I was judging. And my favorite division was judging the brown belt young guys, like 17 to 22 in that age group, because the brown belts, because they were hungry. They wanted that black belt so bad. And I loved to watch them. They were always ready, always fired up, and they fought like demons, and they did kata savagely. You know, there was not a lot of yin in their lives, but they were so hungry, and their eyes burned with desire because they wanted to get that black belt. And after they got the black belt, I didn't see half of them again, and that always amazed me because I saw a lot of them from the time they were white belts, and they just kind of gave up the tournament circuit or whatever it was. But the ones that became shodan, I loved watching them enter into that brotherhood, sisterhood of don, and they would they would still fight like crazy, but they were in a division now where they were getting their butts handed to them a lot more. And I watched how they grew into that. There is a definite bridge between Q and Don. And there's a maturity that comes. By Sandan, their katas were starting to show growth, maturity. And they were still fighting, but they were teaching now, a lot of them. So they had started to develop into men and women, not just crazy kids. And from that point on, I saw them grow, and most of them, a lot of them disappear or they move on, and I didn't see them again. But there were a few I got to watch, and there are stages of development in coming up in the Don rank. And I think Sandan to Yodan, Sisdan, whatever, those are the ones that are really starting to show who they are and who they're going to be.
Yes. Well, you know, how do you feel about the guys that go from Kalibum, say third, Sandan, Yodan, and all of a sudden become Hachis or Eighth Dons and Ninth Dons, and they skip that level of maturity that you're supposed to have when you do become a Shihan? People forget about that.
I think they cheat themselves. They cheat themselves for wanting to have that rank is more important than the growth, than the path. And it's a shame.
You know what's sad, Karen? You know, it's sad because it deals with everything. Ego.
Mm-hmm.
Ego. And people buy ego now in America. Or they can go to the internet and forge a certificate, put it on their wall, and it's sad. But that's what America has become in the martial arts. That's
I remember Master Jun Rhee told me that ego was the highest form of violence in the martial arts, and so did Ishikawa Sensei. They would say that over and over again, that if you let your ego get in the way, you're ruining everything. You're missing a chance, and you're just destroying your chance, and you're just taking a piece of the art with you.
Well, I'm very fortunate that I've been surrounded by authenticity and people with passion to help me get to the point where I feel I can look on the wall and see these Don certificates and appreciate them so much. And you know what? I'm crazy, Karen. I'll go down the line and I'll get to my show Don, and I'll start to cry. I'm sorry. I do. I get so emotional when I think about what I did just to receive a black belt. And I know that's taken for granted today. I know it is. But it's okay. I understand. But God bless you, Karen. God bless North Carolina. And I can't wait to see you in October.
Oh,
and,
I know. I can't wait for that hug.
You bet, honey. You be sweet.
Right.
And
I'll
talk to you in a minute. Okay. Now, the other lady. Okay, my voice is getting hoarse. The other lady that I have, part of the five, I'm very proud of her. I've known her since she was since the 70s. I used to watch her compete, you know, in concert with the men, and she was a great champion. And she's going through a tough time, so our prayers are with her. But God bless her. She's on the show tonight, and she's a big part of the five. And I'm so proud to introduce her from Texas, Mortis Radulat. Mortis, you there, honey?
Good evening, sir. How are you? How is everyone?
Well,
good evening,
all,
everyone.
Bless you for going through what
Thank
you went
you,
through
sir.
Today and being on this show. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, sir. My pleasure.
Well, I'm interested to hear what you got to say about the levels of first Don, the D Don, and then the master level, the fifth, and then, of course, the eighth, the ninth, and then our mid-tier, the two Don. Now, what rank are you, Morris, my ass?
Eighth. I'm an eighth Don.
Oh, you're saying eighth Don. Oh, it's your hot seat. So anyway, how do you feel about our topic tonight?
Well, the first thing that I have to say is that, first of all, when I agree with Karen, I have to, it's inevitable for me not to. I believe that before you become a black belt, like in my school and in how I came up, I was always extremely passionate from day one. But I see and I can relate to those brown belts that she was referring to, just having that, you know, can't wait to get a black belt. And it's such a, it's wonderful, but it's such a shame, and it hurts me a great deal, because you work with them, because you see their passion, and you give them their first Don, and then you see what you see in the result of that after they get their black belt, after you've worked so hard with them to train them, teach them, to make them exceptional in every movement, because I'm very, very picky of every movement, and I see everything. And then they get their first-degree black belt, and, you know, they're gone. They're gone. I also have to add.
Making black belt is enough. They don't realize the
you know,
maturity. They don't realize
there's so much more to it. And they get their blessings. Yes, sir.
Mortis. They don't realize the maturity that they have to be around someone who's been around for longer than they have, so they eventually can be in that position. And when you quit as soon as you make black belt, you lose that.
You lose it all. You were insignificant to begin with, and I believe in junior black belts, and I know that I'm going to make a lot of people upset, and that's fine. It's my objective and my opinion. I don't believe in if you're a I believe in a junior black belt until you're 18 years old. I will not give a first degree black belt to any.
Let me debate that a minute. Let me share this little thing. Okay, let me share something. I come from Kyokushin, which is a Japanese style of martial arts invented by a man named Mateo Yama. We had hundreds of young kid black belts. I'll tell you something. I agree with you half and half. But I also believe that they may not have the maturity or the power as an adult, but for their level and their age level of knowledge, they meet their own. So, and I will share something with you, Martis, whether you realize this or not. My son now is 32 years old, and he finished last year as the top Japanese kata performer in the state of Texas. And he is really well known. But he started when he was very young and tested under Alan Steen, Skipper Mullins, Fred Wren, Lyndon Denley, just name a few. I put Jim Harrison. I put 30 people to watch him perform as a youngster. And they all signed his certificate. And Mr. Steen was the first one, the father of Taekwondo in Texas. So I believe in what you said.
And in response to that, sir, yes, in response to that comment that you just made, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And and no, I mean that genuinely and with all sincerity. And so there, it's in his blood. But we have a lot of first degree black belts, and it's a shame they think they're black belts. They think they're black belts. This is very important. They think they're black belts, and they believe that they are black belts, and they're really not. I know I can be harsh, and I can be pretty blunt, but they're really not black belts.
I'm going to cut you off, Mortis. So I'm sorry, I'm going to be harsh. God bless you, and we'll see you next week, honey. You be sweet,
okay? Sir. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen, now, God bless. I got to make a short roll call. Did Dylan get called on yet? Dylan Vargas. Dr. Lee? Okay. Well, another part of the five. I'm so honored to interview this man. He is my hero. Well, he's an American hero. And I'm so lucky he's on the air tonight because last week he was off. He was on the road. And he just recently got back from California. But he's a karate champion training in Okinawa. And he's a main advisor, one of the main advisors of the National Sport Karate Museum and an advisor for the military group that we honor every year. The military, God bless our country. With that said, my hero, Colonel Phil Torres. Colonel, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you for that wonderful introduction.
Well, I'm getting better. The check's in the mail, Colonel.
I am waiting for the check.
There you go. I've been waiting on a lot of checks. But welcome back to Texas. You've been to California.
I just got off. Well, fantastic. Attending the graduations of three granddaughters from college and high school. It was a fantastic trip with family celebrations, and I just got off the road a couple of hours ago. Just got home.
Well, I know you're tired, but
I'm exhausted.
How you feel about this topic tonight? I'm sure some of our listeners are too. So here we go, Colonel. How do you feel and what the difference is of a first Dan to a second Dan and then to a master's level, Shihan, and then working up to CC Don and A, and working up to your Q Don level. And I want to say this to our listeners. I was overwhelmed last year that the colonel called the museum and asked the platform of all the history generals to honor him for his 9th degree black belt in the martial arts. Ladies and gentlemen, that is such an honor for him to ask the museum to be the platform when the man is training Okinawa and various masters across the world. I'm so honored. Colonel, well, how do you feel about this topic? First to second, second to fifth, and then I would love it.
First and foremost, I agree with everything that Karen said about especially making it to Shodan and then kind of disappearing from the picture after you had a lot of hope and you were involved in shaping that person. My opinion of Shodan is many kind of have it in their head that this is the top of the food chain. My understanding is that they are at the very bottom beginning to understand the martial arts and the particular system that they are studying. They haven't been involved. They may not have been involved in other systems. There's a lot they don't know. The techniques look good. The kata, the forms look good. But to really, they haven't mastered those. Every nuance that comes with every basic, the turning of the hip or the shoulder, they haven't mastered anything yet. They look good. They understand. They're beginning to understand, and they're beginning to develop and mature as they gain second degree, third degree, so that I think by the fifth dan, they have mastered the techniques. They have a full understanding of their system. They have an understanding of other systems, and they can apply their knowledge across the board, especially in teaching. I feel that somewhere between fifth dan and seventh dan, a person, and speaking from experience and the experience of many of the friends, between fifth dan and seventh dan, a person peaks out physically, not mentally. Mentally, they're continuing to grow. They're continuing to understand. And as you teach, the more you teach, the more you understand. The more you learn, and especially if you do it every day or almost every day. By the time they're between fifth and seventh dan, they have peaked out physically because just their age, by the time you're seventh dan, you're normally in your 40s and 50s. So physically, they have mastered it. They have mastered the basics. They have mastered the kata. They are good teachers. They understand, they've been around, they can answer a lot of questions, they can see a lot of flaws, they can correct properly because they have the maturity to do so. By the time a person gets to eighth or ninth dan and then going on to Judan, a person is recognized for those grades not because they're a physical specimen above those seventh dans, but because maturity-wise and intelligence-wise, when it comes to the arts, knowledge and ability to pass it on and what they have contributed to the arts, it's what they get promoted on. It's that contribution to the arts all around them, the contributions they made, the students they developed that went on to do well. That's So it isn't because they are physically stronger or faster or better than that seventh dan, but because they have contributed so much by that time that they are recognized as eighth, ninth, or tenth dans. That is my opinion based on what I have seen over the past 62 years.
Well said. Well said from an amazing, amazing man in the martial arts. Now, you know, Colonel, wisdom is something, like I said, doesn't happen overnight. And
no.
Some of the things that were said that when people like Shodan, first degree black belt, they think that the journey's over. Well, it just begins. It just begins. We're not talking about tournament competition. We're talking about being with sensei, being in the dojo or dojang, or kun if you're kung fu, being around other martial artists, and learning, absorbing knowledge. So eventually you can. We'll be a Shion with this 50-week bubble. You know what? When I left Hawaii, Colonel, when I got on that plane, in my mind, a 50-week bubble lived underneath a waterfall in Okinawa or Japan somewhere. That's how naive I was. I never thought I'd be a Shion or a Shishidan or let alone a 9th and 10th degree black belt. So I'm overwhelmed with the idea of all this is going on in America and all these high down ranks. I don't know. It just makes me go crazy sometimes.
I think it makes all of us go crazy. On what we know, based on what we went through in the maturity phase of growing into the art and into other arts and having a full understanding of what martial arts is truly about. So that's why I say when you contributed so much to the others, that is how people then are recognized as the top ranks, whether it's Hachi, Ku, or Judan.
Yes, sir. Well, Colonel, thank you. And you go get some sleep. Well deserved.
I need to.
And I'll talk to you real soon. Thank you, Colonel.
Absolutely, Professor. Everyone have a great night.
Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Phil Torres, American hero, a part of the five, the amazing group of people that I've put together to talk about topics. Now I've got this next gentleman, Golly Bone. I can't say enough about him. I've literally known him since he was an orange belt. He is now one of the top fighters that we have in Texas, and he's the president of the AOK, the largest sports Karate Association in the state of Texas. He is the president. And he'll be speaking Friday night at the Legend in Houston, Texas at the West Chase Marriott. Beautiful five-star hotel on behalf of Mr. Jerry Smith and the Black Karate Federation. And with that said, my dear friend, a mentor, a friend of mine who I really love, introduced him because he won the MVP of Texas over five times, the Golden Greek. It took me 17 years to win one. This guy really is amazing. Mr. David Chambers, are we calling DE for short? DE!
Yes, sir.
Hey, Animal, how you doing?
Oh, if it gets too much better, I'm going to have to...
You're a master instructor. You teach every day. You've got one of the largest karate studios in Houston for the past 30 years plus. So I'm really interested to hear what you say about this. How do you feel about a first dan, the second dan, the Shion, and then above? Now you're an eighth dan, I know you are. I mean, it's a sport karate museum, and, you know, you well deserve. But tell me, Mr. Chambers, the president of AOK. How do you feel about it, sir?
I feel that the respect of it need to be pushed by all of us to hopefully enlighten the trueness of it. This is one of the best journeys that you can have in life. And in having this journey, you need to know and savor every part of it. I am an advanced belt. That's my title. That's my rank. And I am an advanced belt in Wing Chun. Now, I would like to say that I'm a master rank. I would like to say I'm a black belt. I would like to say several things. But I'm an advanced belt in Wing Chun. As far as I got. As far as I ever got. Now, I loved it, enjoyed it, but once again, the fourth ever T was an advanced belt in Wing Chun. Now, I view that as I was in high school preparing to graduate, because when I got my black belt, it, even though I felt like I was a superstar, I did, I really did. I felt like I could beat everybody, and I got my butt handed to me when I first started as a black belt for 6 months straight. But it's like graduating high school when you get your black belt. I just graduated high school. Now, when you get to be your second degree, then now you live more experience, like getting your associate degree. You know, you've accomplished something. You should be at the level that you can teach karate at your second degree. You know, you should be able to teach under belts. So you should be able to teach by yourself, meaning without you go from an assistant instructor to an instructor at your second degree. Now, when you get to be your third or fourth degree, around the fourth degree level, it's like, well, I continued after my associate's and I got my bachelor's degree because I'm now rather seasoned in what I'm doing. I have papers behind me to say, yes, I can teach more thoroughly as a fourth degree ranking individual. In Taekwondo alone, I said I'm a fifth degree. As a fifth degree, that means I've reached my master level rank. So not only should I be excellent at teaching the underbelts, at the master rank, I should be able to teach the first black belts, the first dan, second dan, third dan. I should be able to teach them efficiently at a fifth or sixth degree master rank. Now, when you become seventh or eighth degree, in my opinion, it's equivalent to getting your doctorate. And when you get your doctorate, then at that time, you should be equipped to teach new master ranks. The ones that just received a master rank, you should help them in giving them a direction towards education and toward wisdom and things of that nature. So as a eighth degree and above, it's like getting your doctorate. Now, I can't tell you anything about getting a ninth or tenth degree because I'm not there. Other than, you should be, once again, at one more level above. So I believe it's like high school, associate degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree, and then doctorate. That's my belief of the ranking system.
Well, you said it almost perfectly, and God bless you, T. Chambers. You're one of the best. Well, I'm going to say it on the air. You're one of the most well-respected men we have in Texas, but very knowledgeable, very wise, and you proved it just a few minutes by saying what you just said. So thank you so much for being a part of the five, and I'll talk to you real soon, Mr. Chambers. God bless you, buddy. God bless you.
My pleasure. Thank you, sir.
The last part of the five, not the last part, there's no really first or second, third, fourth, or fifth. These are five people I felt that had opinions that were authentic and real to be able to share with the listeners about the topics. Now, this next man, I worked with him for many years with the great Bob Wall, David Craigs, Casey Jones, and we were world black belt, one of the largest sports or karate associations in the world, ran by the great Bob Wall. Now, this man, he was an incredible visionary, and he is. He worked with the great Leo Fong, rest in peace, and he also runs his own company, Rainbow Productions. But he's an actor, and we've missed him the past couple weeks because he's on the set of the new series, Doc Savage. So that said, my dear friend, Sifu, Adam J. Adam, you there, buddy?
Yep. Hello.
Welcome back. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You bet. Now, explain to people, like we talked about earlier this week, about the Don ranks, but how do you feel about first of Don, the second
yep.
Don, the master level? But I'll let you explain a little bit. Go ahead. Adam J. Please.
Yes.
Gentlemen.
Well,
go ahead, Al.
About the, I guess, the heroes, it's really wonderful. It provides a lot of, you know, clear steps for people to follow on their journey. But it's actually all new. As we know, martial arts goes back thousands of years, but belts don't. So, in fact, you know, when the Okinawans first started coming to Japan and outside of Okinawan teaching, belts started becoming prominent. And one of the greatest instructors was Gichin Furukoshi, who, when he came to Japan, he left Okinawa as a godan, a fifth don, and he died a fifth don. And in the Shotokan system, initially, that was as high as you could go. And in fact, a lot of Ryukyu Kenpo and Riku Kenpo and Okinawan karate systems, still to this day, have fifth don as the top, which would be equivalent to a 10th degree black belt in other systems. But what happened was after Funakoshi had passed away, they decided, the Shotokan organization, to posthumously rank him as a 10th don, because there were other karate schools with 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th degree black belts. So, you know, it was significant, in my opinion, because it showed how we kind of have to sometimes respond to what everyone else is doing. Don't have to, but a lot of people do. But there was a story about Funakoshi, which to me was symbolic of this whole ranking system and recognizing and acknowledging people for what they really are and capable of. So the story was that Funakoshi, who was teaching at this university at night, during the day, was a custodian. And one day he was working, and this very proud samurai-type man came in and said, "You, go get me the master Funakoshi. I'm here to talk to him." And so Funakoshi thought for a second, "Should I tell him who I am?" But he said, "Yes, hold on." And he ran to the master. He came out in his full uniform and he said, "Yes, hello." The guy said, "Wait a second. Janitor." And I immediately apologized profusely, you know, bowed down to him and all that. But the point was that sometimes people are not what they appear to be. And if you look deeper and if you're sensitive to that, you can see that. There are, of course, a lot of systems that don't have any belt rankings. The organization I grew up with in Hawaii, the Hoshin Kan Okinawan Kippo Karate Dojos, we only had up to fifth gun. And when I left Hawaii, I was a fifth don, and I've never been promoted higher than that from that organization, because we don't. And then working with Leo Fong, likewise, the Kung Fu system, no belt rankings. And before Leo passed away, he wanted to get a rank. We talked about like a 10th degree black belt. He said, "I don't want to do that." And I was like, "Yeah, I don't want to do that." So he did a 10th level instructor was his, you know, solution. But again, it was just a title. That's not really what matters. What matters is what.
Well, thank you, Adam, for that knowledge. I appreciate you coming back. You know, golly bone, Adam. You know, where you at with Doc Savage now? When's he going to be on the air?
Oh, yeah. So we wrapped episodes 1, 2, and 3 over the weekend. So we're ready to push it forward. We're going to be doing some promotions in the next couple of months. We're going to be filming the other episodes later this year. Out towards the end of the year on various streaming services. So if anybody else is interested in knowing more about the project, go to the website, docsavage.com. It's spelled Doc with a K, D-O-K, and Savage with a U, S-A-U-B-A-G-E. Docsavage.com. Check us out.
All right. Thank you, Adam. Thank you for that information.
Thank you,
big guy. and we'll see you next week. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the five is so important because of the wisdom and the knowledge that you learn from listening to those incredible people talk, and we want to say thank you to them. And you know what? I learned this a long time ago from one of my sword instructors, Mako. You're only good as the people that surround yourself with. And that's what I feel I've done with this radio program. Now, Dylan, did you call him yet?
I'm Dylan here, Martin. Professor.
Hey, good, Dylan. You know what? It's live radio. You got to call it when I tell you, big guy.
Yes, sir, I did. I don't know if there was something wrong with the building where I was at or something. Yes, sir.
Well, like I said, Murphy's Law. Well, anyway, the last few minutes I wanted to talk to you about your coming to October and performing at Cops and Wars, and you're performing in the show. And let's talk about a little about you just made 53 black belts. So proud of you. And also, you're the youngest history general that we have at the Sport Crime Museum. But you're under the great man, Bernie Fleeman. Tell me about how you started. And where did you start at?
Yes, sir. I met Sensei Fleeman in Las Vegas for the International Martial Arts Council World Championships in 2009. And I had the honor of working with him on the side throughout the tournament, and we became great friends. And he would be passing me pointers throughout the tournament, and I ended up taking me on as a student. And I've been working with him for over a decade. It's been an honor working with him.
Well, I got to ask you, because we had a verbal class today. Did you enjoy us talking about fighting today? That was good, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
We had a good time. Now, when you perform, you're very dynamic. In fact, you and my son performed in Las Vegas at the John the Timberland Roast in Samstown, and you got a standing ovation. Your content is mentalizing. What do you do to train like that? I mean, do you just stay in the dojo? How do you become so proficient and do your kata that way?
Yes, sir. No, I think of it since the root, the way my instructors tell me, the way kata is supposed to be performed. You're in a fight, and you're supposed to give your whole being, your whole energy, your chi, if you would, into that form, that kata. And I make sure every single time that I do it, it's like a gift that is given to me. Like every day that you're able to wake up and breathe the air, that's the way you do the form. It's a gift every time. So I really take it serious every time I perform to be the best that I possibly can. Just because I don't know what happens tomorrow. I won't be able to perform that way tomorrow. I always like to pretend. So I want to be able to do that today the best I possibly can, every single time.
Good philosophy. Now, I mentioned Las Vegas for the John the Timberland Roast, and you did your debut for the museum. I wanted to ask you, how did you feel about that event? Can you kind of tell people about what the Legends is about and what they can expect in October?
Oh, absolutely, yes. No, the event itself, I mean, it was an experience in its own. I mean, I was open to the amount of people that were there that I didn't know before. My goal was to meet new people and just be around that type of atmosphere that's going to allow me to grow as a martial artist and help me grow as a human being, meeting all these people, learning their philosophy, learning how a martial artist should be. And that I felt that a lot at the roast at that first event in Vegas. And I'm looking forward to the October event for the same reason, for the knowledge, to meet everybody, to know what they have to pass on. And that way I can come back to the dojo and pass on anything that I've learned, any philosophies to the students as well, too. It's a constant learning process, and that's the way I think about it.
Well, I can't wait for you to perform in the show Saturday night for the ladies, because I love showing off your taka. So God bless you, Dylan, and I'm sorry you had a hard time getting on the show, but I'm glad you made it, big guy. So, you know what?
Thank you, sir.
The thing about karate is that it's a growing, progressive process when you do meet incredible people. But remember this, young man, always surround yourself with the incredible people that you feel that can benefit you. And I will tell you, and end with something, with something that was told to me by Marco many years ago. So I'm talking to you directly. Okay, Dylan, you listening?
Yes, sir.
You're ugly. You're really ugly, Dylan. You're not the prettiest color or crayon in the box. But if you surround yourself with pretty colors and pretty crayons, you might blend in someday, and you certainly have. One of your pretty colors is Bernie Fleeman. And the influence that he's done on you has been remarkable. So with that said, God bless you, Dylan, and I'll see you in October, big guy, okay?
Thank you, sir. It's an honor to be on with you. Thank you so much for everything.
You're welcome. You're welcome, man. Remember, buy me some pretty crayons.
Yes, sir.
Yo,
I sure will.
You bet. Now, Leo, did you get on by chance? Leo Ramos? Okay. Leo didn't make it. He is the producer of the United States Martial Art Film Festival. He is one of our sponsors, and he'll be on and be at the booth. You have a booth in October. Now, he has his film festival in Scottsdale, Arizona, October the 9th to the 22nd. He's got a couple of my friends that are going to be there. Ron Hall, Rick Avery, Billy Blake, Art Camacho, Eric Lee, Don the Dragon Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, just to name a few. So if you're in the Scottsdale, Arizona area, you want to come to an incredible festival that will be featuring the 50th anniversary of Bruce Lee's Into the Dragon and 50 other films of all those martial arts stars I mentioned. You can call 713-483-0476. I'll tap you into Leo or Keir, who are their producers. So don't forget, U.S. Film Festival, October 19th to the 22nd. And they're a big supporter of the Sports Art Museum. Now, did Dr. Reginald Lee get on by chance? I'm sure he's in the hospital because he's a real doctor, ladies and gentlemen. But he's a 93 black belt. And he invented SetVR.app, that's self-defense enhanced training in virtual reality. Now, we are an avid supporter of SetVR.app and their invention. It's a hologram that kicks your butt in the headset of virtual reality. But he's allowed the museum to create the History General portal. All the profiles of some of the people you listen to tonight, and then all the History Generals that part of the museum, their profiles will be there. But you have to beat the hologram first. And remember, you want to check it out, go to Google and type in SETVR.app, and it will explain everything to you. Now, if you want to find out more about the Sport Karate Museum, go to our website. We had over 6,000 hits last month, and I'll tell you the reason why. www.SportKarateMuseumArchives.com. The reason why? A lot of knowledge, videos, the treasures page that shows all the incredible items that we have, check it out. www.forkbodymuseumarchive.com and check out life. Hug a pioneer. Hug a black belt. Shake hands with a black belt. Get to know a black belt. The black belts are real, cool, and they will be your friend. A good friend. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, you have a good night. As we always say, much mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, you all.
Good night.
Good night, everyone. Have a